So just to recap where we were last time, legislation, making and enacting laws. To legislate, we have to use the authority that we've got to do those things. Otherwise, we're not actually legislating. Even if we have laws, if we're not using them, we're not legislating. We looked last time at where do we legislate from, particularly mountains before and around the Ark of the Presence of God to get legislation. Zechariah 3:7, this whole process of learning to govern the house, have charge of the courts. So we do that from the different realms of heaven, our mountains, and there are different realms to access the different court systems, and we've looked at various aspects of this, and we'll look to engage all the different courts, hopefully, over the next sessions, so that we can understand how they work, how they function. But it's really important to learn to engage it in the area of legislation that we're operating in. So the Joshua generation, which I believe we're called to be part of, have been forerunners. So we've all had certain experiences of being a heavenly royal priesthood, operating according to the order of Melchizedek, lion, ox, eagle, man, so that we can equip others. And that's the key. Forerunners bring others with them. So all of us need to understand our heavenly positions of government so that we can rule and legislate, but ensuring that we're always coming out of intimacy and relationship. Last time we looked in depth about the Ark, how we engage the Ark, how we go back into eternity, how we get God's heart from a perspective where there is no sin in our spirit that then enables that to lead us in what we do so that we'll create the future out of eternity rather than our past. So it's absolutely vital that we know our heavenly identity, who we really are. It's vital we know our heavenly position. So we can know who we are, but if we don't know where we are and how to use that identity, then we're going to struggle. It's vital that we know our heavenly authority. So we can be in position, but if we don't know how to use that position correctly, again, we'll be limited in what we're doing. So how are we going to do that? Well, God has actually provided tutors to help mature us in our sonship, in our position. So what is a position? Well, there are various definitions. A strategic area occupied by members of a force. So a high ground would be a position, and we obviously need to engage in higher ground than the enemy. An advantageous place or location, and that certainly is for us when we engage in the realms of heaven. It gives us a huge advantage in outworking heaven on the earth. Social standing, status, rank. Now, in a sense, there are different ranks or levels of authority in the realms of heaven that we need to understand, and our position will help us understand where we are at any one point in time. A post of employment or a job is another definition, and we all have a destiny. We've all been given a responsibility of a co-heir in the kingdom to begin to occupy that realm. The area for which a particular player is responsible in a team, for instance. The right or appropriate place, and that's what we need to find. What is the right place for us now as a position in the realm of heaven? So we have lots of positions in government. In our country, we have a prime minister who's the head of the government. We have the Chancellor of Exchequer who deals with the finances. We have defense minister, education ministers, and lots that make up a cabinet that are responsible really for establishing government. And there may well be very many different governmental positions. You know, we have Lord, King, Son, but we also have Chancellor, we have Judge, we have Scribe, you know, we have Legislator, different levels of authority, different roles within the government of God. Also, position in a team. You know, in our things, in terms of football, soccer, we would have goalkeeper, right back, midfield, center forward. You know, in different sports, you know, you would have different positions. In cricket, you'd have different positions, in fielding positions. So it's important that you know your position, and it's important that you play as part of the team, not as a lone person on their own. This is a team role in government, not an individual role. So position in heavenly and earthly dimensions. Some of us have earthly dimensions, benches of three which operate in heaven but are outworked on the earth and in other positions. And all of us personally have earthly dimensions where we're supposed to demonstrate the kingdom of God and see the kingdom manifest around our lives. But there are some positions that are purely heavenly, that we're given a heavenly role to affect things in heaven so that those things can be affected on the earth. A position of being in charge of the house or charge of the courts, that's from Zechariah 3:7. A position of heavenly governmental kingdom authority. Each one of us needs to identify that. So if we know that we're a dwelling, we're a mountain and a gateway here, and we have engaged in our spirit in first love here, then that enables us to begin to access the realms of heavenly government in that realm. If Jesus or the Father is not enthroned on our seat of resting government, then we're not really going to have authority in that position of government in the realms of heaven. So an appointed position. Each of us is appointed or invested or enthroned into a position. It's a mandated position. That means it's a position that's been authorized, a governmental position, so that we can legislate, a position of sonship. Our destiny has positions attached to it. There are things that God is destined to do, us to do, and we need to find the position to enable us to do that. We need to know our position, our eternal identity, and our authority. So the seven spirits of God, wisdom, cloud of witnesses, are all been given by God, appointed by God, to help us in the process of understanding our position of authority and maturing in that position and in the use of that position. So the seven spirits of God actually came to Jesus with gifts that were in recognition of his kingship, his position, and identity. And we tend to see that as the kings in the story of Jesus's birth, but the Magi were not actually physical people from the physical realm. They came from a realm. They were the seven spirits of God who brought more than gold, silver, gold, and frankincense and myrrh. Luke 2:52, Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in the favor with God and men. So there was an increase in him growing because he was being matured, and in that he found favor with God and men. And it's exactly what God wants us to do, to find favor in heaven and on earth. So how are we going to do that? Well, the seven spirits of God train Jesus. They will train us. Isaiah 50 verse 4, which is describing Jesus, the Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. So there's a sense that he's giving me the position of a disciple to learn, but there are other disciples of God also there to help me and to help us to engage. Sometimes it is like they sustain the weary one with a word, because sometimes it's difficult. So they help us understand how to rule in difficult situations, how to overcome. God gave Adam and Eve the mandate to be fruitful, to fill the earth, to produce offspring, if you like, in that sense, but also to subdue. So there are things that we have to learn how to overcome, how to subdue. So their process is to train the heir in his sonship identity, because we can be an heir but not actually have inherited anything. And God will not allow us to inherit our full authority unless we've been trained and tutored. Now, there's a great shift that's been going on. We're living in a time where there's a monumental shifts going on in the heavens, in how governmental authorities outworked, how things are outworked on the earth. Those governors and tutors have been released as part of this shift to prepare us as we shift into a new order. The old order, when we were operating as forerunners, we had opportunity to engage with the seven spirits of God, but actually now this is shifted into a requirement. It's like if we don't, we won't really mature to the degree that we should. The cloud of witnesses and the seven spirits of God are here to train us, tutor us, to take our positions, Lord, kings as sons, also in other realms and other dimensions. But we've got to be willing to embrace and engage them. if we're going to do that, if we're going to fulfill our destiny to rule and bring dominion, we have to be willing to embrace training, tutoring in that way. And there are those beings are being created for us. So there's some scriptures about that. John 1:4, John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before the throne. So it's very interesting that the churches would receive a greeting from beyond the veil from someone they must have known, and from those spirits they must have known. Otherwise, why would there be a greeting? They knew God, but there was an indication here that they actually also knew the seven spirits who were involved in helping them in their positions of rulership within the churches. So there was engagement and relationship, and we are also invited to participate in that engagement and relationship. Revelation 4:5, there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. This is the symbolic language that describes a characteristic of the seven spirits, which is burning fire before the throne. So it's about government. Revelation 5:6, I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb slain, standing as if slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. So there's an indication again that this is very pictorial language, but it's describing authority. Horns are authority. Eyes are those that have revelation to see, and they were sent out into the earth. Now, there's an issue over, are the seven spirits of God omnipresent? Well, I don't believe that they're omnipresent in the same way that God is omnipresent, because they're not God, but they are, let's say, omnidimensional. They can engage with more than one realm at a time, and they can engage with more people at a time, because heaven doesn't function on the same time-space continuum as is on the earth. So there is capacity in heaven to do things in a very different way. So we can all engage them whenever we need to, and they certainly do engage with us. If they were limited to, well, I'm going to engage with this person today and that person tomorrow, there is going to be very little training going on. So we have to learn how to engage them in the realms of heaven. When something is sent out, and they've been sent out, it's sent out with a purpose and a mandate and the authority to do the job, and they have been commissioned to go out and engage. The purpose of the seven spirits of God is to empower each of us to establish the kingdom as heirs of God and to express to the world around us. Everything around us needs an expression of God and the kingdom, which is from mature sons of God who are being manifested on the earth. And that's God's desire, to manifest his sons on the earth. Question is, are we willing to say, like Jesus, like Isaiah said, here am I, send me? Because there is a process to enable us to do that. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. And the seven spirits of God are involved in helping us get our heart to a place which is completely his, surrendered to our position of authority in the realms of heaven. So they will engage with us. They're looking at hearts. They're looking at desire, because the heart is all about desire. What is the desire of our heart? Do we have a desire to be completely his? Do we have a desire to be in our position of heavenly authority? And those who have a desire, they will begin to engage with. They're drawn to people with a desire. Isaiah 11:2, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might or strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And then it says in verse 3, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. So the seven spirits of God and all those aspects of the very nature of God are to help us make judgments without using our natural senses and natural understanding, pictured here by our eyes and our ears, to make those judgments. We need heavenly insight, heavenly revelation from the Spirit of the Lord, from the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. to engage in that. So the seven spirits of God are not the Holy Spirit. They are heavenly spiritual beings created to train us, mandate us, and equip us to become sons of God. They are the testators of to the covenant of adoption. And there's this, you know, picture of where there was an adoption that took place in Roman times. They had those that witnessed it. So they witnessed to the covenant of adoption that we've been adopted into the family of God. And they look at that adoption record for our lives, and their desire is that we would mature from being immature babies, if you like, in the kingdom to come into full maturity as sons. So they are our tutors. Galatians 4, 1-2, an heir, though he be Lord of all, is under tutors and governors until the appointed time. So a tutor means someone who trains you. A governor means someone that teaches you how to rule or rules over you until you can. There's a degree where they've been involved in our lives. Even though we may not have been fully aware of it, like our angel who's occupied our mountain throne and has been responsible for coordinating things in our lives in the kingdom, so also of the seven spirits of God. Galatians 3:29, we are heirs of the promise. Romans 8:16, joint heirs with Christ. If we're an heir to a promise, then the heir needs to be trained to become a joint heir in Christ. We can be an heir, but we need to become functioning together, working together with the promises that we've been given to embrace that. So to be an heir of a promise doesn't mean you're actually automatically going to inherit that promise. You have to be mature to come into the promises that are ours in Christ, in this heavenly realm. That there is a training process which we need to do to inherit those things and come into our positions of government. So as heirs, we've got huge potential. Every one of us can come to maturity, but we need to submit to the process of training. Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Then the seven spirits of God are very much involved with our mission or commission, if you like, and they are there to help us engage and be anointed, being prepared to receive everything that God wants us to receive. So when I first started to engage with the seven spirits of God, I met them all individually in encounters in heaven, and they were very symbolic encounters, and there were things about their color, the way they looked, how they engaged me with me that I still recognize. So I still recognize a particular fragrance or frequency or color that when I engage in heaven is an indication that one of the seven spirits of God is actively involved in my life at that point in time. So Spirit of the Lord, red. Spirit of wisdom, orange. Spirit of understanding, yellow. Spirit of counsel is green. Spirit of might is blue. Spirit of knowledge is indigo. Spirit of the fear of the Lord is violet or purple. So the colors of the rainbow that represent white light. When white light hits a prism, it gets formed into the colors of the rainbow. Those are the colors that we can engage in with our natural eyes, but of course our spirit can begin to engage in much more than that. So what do they do? Well, the Spirit of the Lord mandates us for position, and we'll look at what these mean in a minute. Spirit of the wisdom equips us for position. Just to say that the spirit of wisdom is not wisdom. Wisdom herself is different from the spirit of wisdom. We'll look at that. Spirit of understanding authorizes us for position. Spirit of counsel prepares us for position. Spirit of might reveals us for position. Spirit of knowledge empowers us for position. Spirit of the fear of the Lord brings accountability for position. So, mandate. A mandate, an official order, or commission to do something. So the Spirit of the Lord helps us understand what we're called to do. What is God's will and purpose for us in the form of that mandate for the position that we have? Literally, it means to give someone authority to act in a certain way. And we need to see what the Father's doing, and then the Spirit of the Lord helps us to outwork that on a daily basis. Another description of it, instruction, directive, direction, decree, command, order, injunction, edict, charge, commission. That's what a mandate is. That's what we're mandated. We're given that instruction and directive. Therefore, the Spirit of the Lord is involved with that. Spirit of wisdom equips. Equips really means to supply with the necessary items for a particular purpose. So if we have a particular role, a position of authority, then we need the supplies necessary to outwork that. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to do so. So the Spirit of wisdom helps us with what we need, the necessities, such as tools or provisions, helps furnish us with the qualities necessary for performance. So it's not just about giving us things, but helping us become the person who can actually outwork that purpose, to furnish or provide whatever is needed for use for any undertaking, to fit out, as in an army or a ship. We need to be fitted out with the things we need. And some of those things may be physical things, but a lot of it is about spiritual things that we need. Spirit of understanding authorizes us. To authorize is to give official permission for or approval for an undertaking or an agent. So essentially, we have a position, and this gives us that authorize, that permission. And it, another way of describing it, to permit, to sanction, to allow, agree to, approve, give one's consent or ask to consent to. So there's that part where that's what God's desire is, and the Spirit of understanding helps us in that authorization. Because when we've actually got understanding, it changes how we feel about the position we're in. When we understand what we're called to do, we're authorized in a sense. If we don't understand, then we have no authorization because we don't know what to do. So there's a lot of here which will help us in the protocols, in understanding what it is of legislation and government is about, so that we have authority and power to fulfill the role that we've been given. Spirit of counsel prepares. And a lot of these things sort of have similar connotations, but they're not exactly the same. Prepares is to make someone ready or able to deal with something, to prepare for what the role is, what the position is. So to make ready beforehand for a specific purpose or for an event or an occasion. So there is preparation the Spirit of counsel does. And the Spirit of counsel brings counsel from different sources to help us. So the Spirit of counsel can connect us up with some of the men in white linen. The Spirit of counsel can connect us up with actually some of the other of the seven spirits of God to bring that preparation, to bring it in place so that we're put in a proper condition or readiness. So when you feel prepared, you feel much more confident to be able to take something on. And that preparation is what the Spirit of counsel will help us to engage in. Spirit of might reveals. To reveal, to make previously unknown or secret information known to others. In other words, we may well have been hidden, and until we've come into this position, then heaven doesn't recognize us. We're not really talking about earthly recognition here. We're talking about heavenly recognition, that the Spirit of might wants to strengthen us by revealing us to the realms of heaven so that heavens and the angelic realm participate in what we're doing. To make known something concealed or secret. And until we've come into that place where we've come onto that mountain, taken our throne, come into that position, then we're not known. And God wants us to be known. Heaven needs to know that we're in that place. The universe, the created order, needs to know because we're there to answer its groan. So there's a change that takes place when we're revealed or brought into the light. Unveiled or published, announced, proclaimed. They're all sort of names for revealing. And there are things that go on in the different realms that make us known, and therefore our authority is known. And when we know that authority, then we have power to act. Spirit of knowledge empowers us. Without knowledge of how, then it's very difficult, again, to feel that we are equipped to do the job. So to empower means to make someone stronger, more confident, especially in controlling their life, claiming their rights. And so to use the authority we have, we need the knowledge that will empower us and to be confident in it. To invest with power, especially legal power or official authority. So empowering is what the spirit of knowledge does, by bringing us the knowledge to know what to do, to give us insight into various aspects of this. Spirit of the fear of the Lord, accountable. Accountable, required or expected to justify actions, decisions, essentially to be responsible. Now, a lot of people struggle with responsibility because they have a wrong view of accountability because they fear that they're going to be punished. And God does not punish. Fear, spirit of the fear of the Lord does not punish. It's not involved with punishment. It's involved with actually helping us to see the responsibilities that we got and therefore be able to take those responsibilities seriously and fulfill them. An obligation of an individual or organization to account for its activities, accept responsibility for them, and to disclose the results in openness. So this enables us to be transparent, open, honest about our mistakes. Because if we cover our mistakes up, we'll never learn from them. So it's realizing that we will make mistakes. We're not going to get it right 100% of the time, but if our heart is correct, that's what God is interested in, and we'll learn from our mistakes if we don't run and hide in the bushes, but we come and we're deliberately vulnerable and open before God to make known where we're coming from. And this, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, helped me to go into the judgment seat, and it gave me my scroll and encouraged me to step into the judgment seat when I wouldn't have gone in there, I don't think, without that encouragement. And it was I was shaking, in a sense, going in there, but it changed my whole outlook on things and gave me insight and revelation into the accountability that I needed for my life. I don't want wood, hay, and stubble on my scroll. I want gold, silver, and precious stones. So it's okay to be open and honest. And if we struggle with that, to find out why. So we're trained to have insight into the ways of the kingdom and its judicial protocols and the functions of government within it. The what, why, how, where, when. Because I might know what it is God wants me to do, but I might know how to do it. And I might not know why God wants it done. And actually, God wants to reveal his heart. He doesn't just want us to we'll do this and do it. Yes, there's obedience and obedience, but God wants us to participate in the councils and assemblies of God and in eternity in his heart to know why. And actually, we might know why and what and how, but if we don't know when and where, then again, we're going to struggle to actually outwork the things that God's calling us to do. So the seven spirits of God and wisdom help us in these things. We become authorized and accountable and able to fulfill the position. Now, there's a diagram there which is on the website, I think, that goes into each of the specific ones, what it is about the Spirit of the Lord that helps us with our dominion and sonship and rulership, and each one of them has different aspects. I'm not going to go into that now. You can look at that and go back to it. Now, wisdom. You know, the seven spirits of God are very much helping us with our position. I found that wisdom helps with protocol and helps us understand things at a different level. Proverbs 4:5, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, she will guard you. Love her and she will watch over you. Now, there are people who when going into legislative things, are always thinking about backlash, about what the enemy can do as a result of us doing something, and there's fear attached to that, which often opens up the door for the enemy to do something. You know, I'm not in faith at all for any backlash whatsoever when I'm operating from a kingdom perspective in the realms of heaven. But wisdom can guard and watch over us in that regard to ensure that we are in a safe place when we're learning to legislate and learning how to govern. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. Verse 8, prize her and she will exalt you. Wisdom helps us come to higher levels of authority. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. And again, grace is about the divine enabling power of God. And A Crown of Beauty is about understanding who we are and the wonder of how we're being made by God, to see that position. And that empowers us. A crown gives us authority to act in accordance with who we are created to be. Proverbs 8:1, does wisdom not call, and understanding lift up her voice on the top of the heights by the side of the way? So wisdom is calling. That's the key. She's proactive. She's calling, and we need to tune into discerning the sound or frequency of her voice. And she operates on top of the heights, which is on the top of the realm of the kingdom of heaven, beside the way. So there's access to the eternal path, the way, the ancient way, into eternity from there, where the paths meet. So the ancient paths meet there, which again gives us access into various things. She takes her stand beside the gates. So there's gates there at the opening to the city. So this helps us engage and access Mount Zion, the city of God. There are gates into dimensions at the entrance of the doors. So there are also doors there. And all these things may seem the same, but they're not. There are access places for us to engage things through. And she gives us access when we engage her there. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. So she's calling to us in our sonship. She's calling our sonship out of us, if you like. Proverbs 8:15, by me kings reign, rulers decree justice, by me princes rule and nobles, who judge rightly. Four levels of authority there: kings, rulers, princes, nobles, and various things that those things do. Reign, rule, decree justice, and judge rightly. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. So we need to seek her, seek out her, seek going to the wisdom's heights, engaging with her, get to know her. It's not about, well, I'm going because I want to know how to do things. That is disrespecting her. It's actually engaging personally in a relationship with her, because that would unveil and release things to us. It's really, really important. As an aspect. So we're going to do that. We're going to look to engage on wisdom's heights, and I would look to encourage you to regularly practice engaging there and growing in that relationship and the access that that gives you. We're going to be engaging with the seven spirits of God to help us with our position of authority. Proverbs 9:1, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She's prepared her food. She has mixed her wine. She's also set her table. She's sent out her handmaidens. She calls from the tops of the heights of the city. She's calling, and she has things there for us. Like in Psalm 23, there's a table prepared for me. There are things that she's prepared for us to eat and drink that we need to help us establish the house of our life on the seven pillars that wisdom stands on. And we can access those seven pillars, and literally you can go and stand in those pillars. And when you step into it, and you step into the light, and you step into revelation, it's quite an amazing thing. But she's calling out. Now, she has sent out handmaidens, the names of those: glory, holiness, truth, excellence, faith, life, promise. I'm not going to go into that. I know Ian Clayton's got a good teaching on it if you want to engage deeper. Personally, I've also met other angels there on Wisdom's Heights. Prudence was one of them. And Prudence gave me seven tools to navigate and help me understand how to navigate the realms of heaven and to navigate the dimensions. And when I was given those instruments, it opened up my accessing certain things. So be open to engage with whoever you meet there, whoever might offer you things there. So, Wisdom's Heights. You have access to engage in Mount Zion, to the training hall, because there's a training hall where the seven spirits of God, you can enroll there. I was shown that. You can have access to the stars, under the earth, to the earth spiritual realm dimension. I'm not just talking about the physical earth, but the spiritual realms in this earth, which are the things that we see around us when we start to engage our angelic realm, the demonic realm. You can start to see things, the atmosphere of the earth, to actually see what is it that's over your life or over your authority area, your city, whatever you're called to do. So I found wisdom really helped me to engage with the Court of Chancellors and the Court of Scribes and help me understand how to operate there. So when I went to my mountain one day and I was on my throne and my throne started to move, first time it ever moved, was mobile, it went off up to this hall of revelation, which was like a training center. And I was encouraged by wisdom, because wisdom was there to enroll in the courses that will bring me revelation of the positions from each of the seven spirits of God in their official duties. This is how she described it. You know, they had official duties and they were engaging, so I could engage also with the men in white linen, who are my governors assigned to my mantle of authority. And so there's a place that you can engage that, and that's accessible from Wisdom's Heights through one of the gates there. So God said to me this: I'm going to release the seven spirits and your assigned counselors to a greater measure to those who will position themselves and take responsible seats of government. So if we're willing to take responsibility and be enthroned, then God is going to release the seven spirits and others for us to help us mature. So look for colors and frequencies that they will begin to engage you and speak to you more clearly. Sometimes you get a sense or a glimpse, and they're active around our lives in a way which probably we're not realizing. We need to deliberately choose to try and tune in and engage with them so that we can then learn how to access these realms and operate in the courts in these dimensions. So we're going to practically engage that, look to engage with wisdom. If you want to put your avatar up or your picture so you can be free to relax, you know, I really do encourage you to relax in this. Don't try and strive or struggle or trying to sort of figure it out with your mind. Just let your spirit experience. Even if you're not actually seeing visually a lot, you will be perceiving and receiving revelation in your spirit. And this is a spiritual activity and exercise, not a mental one. So don't try and figure it out, work it out, understand it in a cognitive way. Just receive it and allow it to come. If there is symbolism, don't try and work out the symbolism now. Go back, journal what you have experienced, and then go back into it. You know, so relax is the key in this, and just engage initially. Just engage by faith. So we're gonna do that now. So I encourage you, you know, just close your eyes, just begin to relax. You know, if it helps to picture that open heaven with the ladder going up into the realms of heaven, the door standing open, waiting for us to hear the invitation come up here. By faith, just step through the veil, torn, into the realm of the kingdom. Jesus waiting for us in the doorway. Jesus, we just present ourselves to you as our high priest. We present ourselves as a living sacrifice today. We engage the cross, the way, and exchange old for new. And we stand in our robes of righteousness, choosing to surrender our free will to yours, as we declare, not my will, but yours be done. And I would ask, as we just engage with Jesus, that he will take you by the hand and lead you and really feel free to go where he wants you to go and let your spirit just lead and direct you in this encounter. Just ask that you would just take us through the veils of the truth, to step through the veil of the life and to stand before the ark of the presence of God, drawing near, just seeking to resonate with His will and purpose today. We open up our hearts and ask that You would write on the tablets of our heart, unveiling our destiny, our position, and our tutorship and governorship. I just ask that You would just give each person a mandate to engage with wisdom and wisdom's heights in the seven spirits of God. Just invite the seven spirits of God just to come around us as we stand here. The color and the light engage you. You may sense a particular color. Spirit of the Lord, red, again, mandates you. Spirit of wisdom, orange, equips you. Spirit of understanding, yellow, authorizes you. Spirit of counsel, green, prepares you. Spirit of might, blue, reveals you. The spirit of knowledge, indigo, empowers you. Spirit of the fear of the Lord, violet, brings accountability. Just allow an engagement. Just sense their presence. Just begin to build a relationship. You may want to continue engaging there, or you may want to press on to engage with wisdom. Again, I would just ask Jesus that You would just take those with the mandate to engage wisdom's heights. Take us through the door to the kingdom of heaven. We take with us that mandate, our position, who we are, to engage on wisdom's heights. To see and engage the seven pillars. You may feel you want to engage one of those pillars. Just be open. Let your spirit lead. Just sense the things that are there, the gates, the way, the pathways, the doors. To allow Jesus to introduce you to wisdom. If you look deeply into her eyes, it's amazing depth. just sense and feel and engage her presence. Open up your heart and the desire of your heart, and just present who you are as a son. If you feel, just ask wisdom to open up a gate or a doorway, maybe to the training hall, that she would accompany you to enroll with one of the seven spirits of God, or one of the doorways. Let the desire of your heart engage, that a doorway may be opened for you to walk through. Perhaps a doorway to engage the stars and engage your eternal place as a luminary, or engage the expanding of the universe. Perhaps engaging under the earth to engage Satan's trophy room if you're authorized to go, or to engage the atmosphere of the earth to see what is over your spheres of government, or the earth itself, that you can take it in your heart, maybe receive a mandate for an area or a city or a state or a nation. Just allow your spirit to engage with wisdom to open up a realm for you to go further and deeper into. You may wish just to continue with where you are, I believe wisdom would lead us to come before the throne of God, before the four living creatures and the seven spirits of God and the elders, before God's throne, and engage as part of the sea of glass, and cast all our crowns and all that we've received before him today as a trade into deeper intimacy and revelation of God himself. So if you feel led to engage that, just engage before the throne of God. Everything that you've experienced and received today, by faith, you can plant it in the garden of your heart, anchors it in your memory, produces a doorway of testimony that you can re-engage, so this becomes a pathway, a part of your life, being tutored and trained your position, who you are as a son of God. You may want to stay in an encounter or wherever you are in God. If you got any questions you want to ask, or if you want to share anything, then we'll look to do that, but feel free to stay if you want to stay in that place. Okay. If anyone does want to ask anything or share anything, feel free. You can do that. We've got a few minutes. If not, there's no problem.
Yeah, I swear a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I think I started very quickly once you started to lead us in into the spirit and walk up the stair. I started to vibrate every time is so quickly. And then I saw color. I first saw orange, or just color. I know this orange and then yellow and green and blue and red and purple. So I feel like the color is around me like a ball of colors. And then, but there's one thing I would like to ask, and because you mentioned about the pillar. I think I saw a pillar which was really tall, high up, like you know, those Roman temples pillar. But I was standing there, and then the spirit of wisdom was beside the pillar. I think I remember I saw at one time during my meditation, I follow your teaching, then I think I saw a lady. I believe she's the spirit of wisdom because she have curly hair, brown color, brown hair, but in between some gray hair, white hair, I cannot remember. But the thing is, I feel it's very, I have peace. I tried to ask her, but then later on I disconnected with that feeling. So tonight, I think I saw her when you described her. I think I saw her eyes was really beautiful, and then big eyes, and then she was smiling with me. But then the thing is, I was standing near the pillar, but I don't know what is it. So, and then you said about opening the door, and then we walked through the door to the training room, or whether we should go to the Satan Trophy room. First, I wanted to go to learn more, so I think I saw blue color. But later on, when you mentioned about Satan's Trophy rooms, I wanted to go there because it was because of my curiosity. I want to know what is it inside. But then, but by the time when I wanted to get in there, it took me a while to see the door is a big, huge. Like iron gate is like a very tough one. But then by that time you say, oh, maybe you want to stay, and then but you think wisdom is going to take us to the throne room, because I'm studying the Bible BSF, so we are studying the book of Revelations and chapter 4 exactly. So I want to go and seek God, you know. So but the spirit of wisdom gave me a key. I know that key is for me to access to Satan's room later on. So I know I have the access to go later on. So I just follow you to go to the God's throne room. Then my head basically been shaking, vibrating all the time. Not vibrating, but it's just like moving. Like I was as in a place of no gravity, you know what I mean? So I know I was in somewhere in not on earth, that my spirit is somewhere else. But I feel safe because I know I'm with a group of people, I'm with you. That is most important. But then when I go into the throne room, my head started to shake differently. And I was really I feel really great. I feel really I think there's something difficult to grasp, but I know I can see. I try to look at the four creatures and so on and so forth. But it was amazing because one point I want to mention is that I feel like crying when I saw the seven spirits, the color. At one point, just split, not split second, for a little while. So I was so touched at that time, but then I didn't get anything. Yep, so this is my experience. I get it so quickly, and I saw so many things. It's too many because, and I have to write it down, you know. I thought when I started to jot down the things that I saw, I might have missed out something. But the good thing is, once I started to jot down, and I go back to the scene, you know, go back to it, and I come back very quickly. So it was amazing. I give thanks to the Lord, and I thank you, Mike. But can you explain to me what is that pillar?
It's better experienced than explained. You know, I just know that, you know, before I ever really engaged with Wisdom herself, I went to Wisdom's Heights and I stood by those pillars, and I you know, I put my hand in there to first, because it was like, whoa, it wasn't solid, and I stepped into it, and I can remember my whole spirit just bursting with an overflow. Oh, I didn't even know what it was. I couldn't actually describe it, but it was an amazing experience. And there are things there, I think, you just have to, as you say, you won't understand everything the first time. You won't necessarily get everything. Just keep going back. Keep re-engaging. Build up the relationship with Wisdom. You know, explore what the pillars are. Put your hand in there. Stand into it. You know, explore the doors. You know, as your spirit leads. You know, not just with curiosity, but, you know, with desire. I mean, it's desire that opens up doorways. So, you know, just keep going back would be my encouragement. Make it part of your daily life of building a relationship with the seven spirits of God. They're active around us. We'll become more sensitive to that and more aware of their role that they're playing in some of the things that go on in our lives, and how we learn from some of the things that go on in our lives, as well as specifically them training and tutoring us in the spirit. And once we go on to some of the different legislative courts in the future, you know, Wisdom will help and take us to some of those places for the protocols and understanding what to do. But yeah, keep going. It's great. It's really good testimony. You know, don't try and figure it all out with your head. Just allow your spirit to receive it, and as you go back and meditate over it, more revelation and truth will come. So.